I begin to think about Memorial Day weekend, what it represents. When I was growing up, anybody my age or older would remember it was called Decoration Day. The Civil War, after it ended in 1865, the next spring following that in 1866,
people started decorating the graves from those that was killed in the Civil War. And I believe it was in 1868 is when they had their first official service. And they declared that it would be held on the 30th of May every year after that. And then after the World War I, they started honoring the ones that was killed also in that war, and then World War II, and then Vietnam, and so forth. And now we honor all the ones that gave their lives for our freedom on Memorial Day. I think it was in 1968 that Congress passed and made it an official holiday, and it would be celebrated on the last Monday of May. And in 71, I think that's when it actually started being the holiday to where you got paid to be off on that Monday. But I got interested in that and got interested in freedom and the price that's been paid for us to have freedom we have today. And all I only thing kept coming to me is where Jesus said, "If the Son shall set you free, you shall be free indeed." And that'll be what we'll take for a text here in a minute. But we won't take a reading lesson. And I know this may not make a whole lot of sense to start with, but I pray before we get done that it will make more sense to you if the Lord permit us to get through it. But I want to take a reading lesson out of the 16th chapter of Acts. And very familiar with Paul and Silas being put in jail after Paul had cast the evil spirit out of the woman, and the ones that she worked for, that cost them some money. And so they had Paul and Silas beat and thrown in prison because of this, because it interfered with their money. But I guess I seen the Lord. I didn't see it, but the Lord showed me some stuff in this that I'd never paid any attention to before. And it seems like I read a lot. I've preached out of these scriptures here different times. And there's different scriptures like that I've preached out of several times. And the Lord, you think you finally seen about all it is to see in something, and then He'll show you something else. And I love that. We'll never get... Once you think you know it all, then you're done. We'll never get to where we know it all. I believe the sanctification begins when somebody's born again. Sanctification begins then, and it'll end when you die. When He's got you as far as you'll be able to go, then He'll take you home. And that's the end of sanctification. And so I'm not looking to be him being done with me yet, but he might be. But if he is, I'm thankful I've got a better place to go. And if I'm as far as I'll ever get, then that's fine also. I want to go as far as he'd have me to. But they'd been thrown in prison here, and then it said in the 23rd verse of that 16th chapter of Acts, and it said, when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into the prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison awaked out of his sleep, and when seeing the prison doors open, he drew his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for the light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out of and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and were baptized, he and all straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. And that was a mistake we made reading down to the 34th verse. And we want to go here in the 8th chapter of John, the 36th verse. And it said, If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. And I begin to think about how Paul and Silas was locked up here in prison. And we're going to talk about some others that was locked up. But what I want you to think about today, if you're lost, the Lord is wanting to set you free. And I preached on a couple of Sundays ago, I guess it's been now, about Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch and how the Lord had brought them together. And I believe here's another picture of the Lord bringing some together that there had been an opportunity for them to be saved. And so today, I want you to realize God has given you another opportunity today to be here at Hilltop. He's given me another opportunity today to be here at Hilltop. He's given another opportunity today for somebody to be saved. And our heart's desire today, if you find yourself here lost today, that you shall be set free. And I pray today that the bonds that the old devil has you locked in would be loose from you today. And the key to this service, somebody would have the key through the preaching of the word or somebody testifying through a song, whatever it is. But it would open the door today that we might be able to have a service here today and somebody be saved. But our heart's desire is for you to be saved. And I had some on my heart. It seems like this has happened a lot lately. I have somebody on my heart and different ones on my heart, and they get here and they don't show up. But I want you to know the Lord knows who's here today. And I figured out some time ago it's not the way I think it's going to be. I think a lot of times when I'm up here preaching the message for some certain person and how them not show up or them not getting nothing out of it, them be here and you could just see them absolutely get nothing out of it. They're either asleep or looking somewhere else or talking, doing something, you can tell. But somebody else will get something out of it. It may be somebody down in a holler somewhere. I believe Brother Mark told me this week, he said that he talked to somebody that goes to a different faith and says he can hear us up here, people shouting, the preaching and everything going on through their speakers. So it may not go out to some. All I'm doing is broadcasting the seed today, but we want the seed to land where God would have it to go. So today, if you find yourself, whether you're out in the parking lot or you're down in the holler or you're sitting here in the midst of us today and you're lost and separated from God, Jesus Christ come to set you free. And we sung that song a while ago, I cannot tell you why. I want you to know I know why. He saved my soul. He came to save sinners, and whom I was chief. That's what Paul said, and I feel the same way today. You're going to have to realize that you are a sinner and the devil has got you in his grip, and the only way you will ever be able to be saved is to realize that. If you want to be set free, you're going to have to realize that you're in bondage first and the devil's got you. And until you are able to realize that, I want you to know you're going to have a hard time. I had different thoughts this week. I had some thoughts about some of them that come here over and over. We may not preach on, may forget to preach on that next Sunday, but people come here time and time again and say of the gospel, and it seems to have no effect on them. Listen to me today. You need
need to hear what saith the Lord. I hear and your soul shall live, what Isaiah said. So hear me today. My wife fusses at me. I would say that all the time. She said, you say listen to me too many times. I want you to know you ain't got to listen to me, but listen to the Word of God. It wants to set you free. Jesus came for you that he'd be able to set you free. And I want you to realize how you're in a terrible shape here today. I guess I'll tell you kind of what I come to see in this. I guess I always thought maybe the Lord had come to set Paul and Silas free, but that wasn't what he come to do. We'll get to it here in a little bit, but listen to me. You're bound today, and he wants to release you. He wants to give you freedom. I want you to realize until you've ever had serious trouble, if you've ever been in a serious bad shape, until you get that way, you don't know what freedom is. I talked about that Civil War and what was fit for in that. Yes, we may have been on the wrong side of that battle. Listen to me, but there was people, they fit, there was men dying for their freedom. And I can't imagine what it was like when they were set free in that spring of 1865. And when they were said, you can go free now. You're no longer bound. You're no longer bondsman. I want you to realize, I know what it's like spiritually. Because one night those chains was loosened for me and I was set free. I was born again of the Spirit, and that was special to me. Isaiah in 61:1 said, the Spirit of the Lord of God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek, and he has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. In other words, to fix the brokenhearted, to proclaim the liberty to the captives, and open the prisons to them that are bound. Listen to me. Isaiah said his job was to preach the gospel. This was back when Josh taught us this morning, pictures of Christ in the Old Testament. I want you to know Isaiah done a whole lot of speaking of Christ and the book of Isaiah, and I want you to realize Jesus was preached back then. They had to look forward to the Messiah coming just as we look back, but they still preached Jesus back then, and how men needed to be set free. I want you to realize today, you may not know when you come here today that you needed to be set free, but what my prayer is that before this day is over, that you realize that you need to be set free, that you realize your condition and you can call upon the Lord and be saved. And for a long time I went to church. We went to a General Baptist church some. We went to I went to Missionary Baptist. Mom and Daddy didn't, but we went over to Union Hill, General Baptist there. And I remember as a boy going to revivals there. It not bothering me one bit. I want you to realize there comes a time when you are no longer free in the household of God. There'll come a time when you realize you're lost, and when you realize you're lost, then you're just as lost as you will ever be. I want you to realize once the devil's got a hold of you and he becomes your father, and that's what he is. You say, preacher, don't tell my children that. Listen to me, you're either a child of God or you're a child of Satan. There's no in between. Once you come to age accountability, he becomes your father. Satan does, and you have to get it fixed. You have to be set free. And the only way that can happen is through the blood of Jesus. And I want you to realize today, that's what God has called me out to do, to come to you and preach. And that's what he called Paul and Silas out to do, to come to them and preach. And I talked about earlier, God had sent them there because Paul and Silas had been done wrong. And the Lord had made a way for the angel to come and to release them. Listen to me. I want you to know he done that different times. Peter and them over here in Acts chapter 4, they were the first time it happened. And chapter 5, it said, they laid hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go, stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of life. Listen to me. They put them in there for preaching Jesus, and they'd been arrested for it. And God sent the angel to come and release them and send them forth to go preach the word. I want you to realize the devil has no hold on us. He has no hold on us. I want you to realize the Lord can come by anytime when you're put in a bad situation and take you right out of it. He'll not put you through more than you're able to take. But Peter, then we find over there in the 12th chapter of Acts, Herod had done killed James, the brother of John, and they had arrested Peter, and they was fixing to take his head off too. And God sent an angel to come and loosen the chains from him. And Peter was able to get up and walk right out of the jail. Why was he able to do that? God had a work for him to do. And you say, well, that was the same thing with Paul and Silas. I want you to realize what I come to learn in that. It wasn't Paul and Silas was one in prison that day when they was locked up. I want you to realize it was the jailer, the one that was in prison that day, the one that was keeping the prison, the one that was in bounds. I want you to realize he was the one that was locked up, and God made a way for those men to come and be able to tell him about Jesus Christ, just like he's made a way today to be able to come and tell you about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Listen to me today. He's made a way for you. He come and gave his life that you'd be able to live, that you would have life and have it more abundantly, that you could be free. So those men, Paul and Silas, was put in jail. The really somebody didn't know he was in prison. This man was just there doing his job. Just going along, doing what he was told. And then all of a sudden he realized he was bound. I never have been locked up in jail. Well, I have. Used to, for 3 years after I owned my call to preach, in September. In October, I started going to Macon County Jail. I went every Wednesday night. You'd go up there and you had to go through, I think it was like 3 or 4 doors to get back there to where I'd go. And they locked the doors behind you as you went. That's a bad sound. I've never been put in there, and I could have been. And that's what I'd tell them. But I'd go up yonder and I'd preach. So I don't know exactly what it was like for Paul and Silas, but I know what it was like to preach in the jail. Went up there one night. There'd usually be about 25 and 30 show up. And they had a little library. It's where you would meet in there. Had tables and stuff. And we'd got Alexander Funeral Home had furnished us a pulpit, and we'd got us an altar and had it set up in there. We got in there one night. The jailer come around. There wasn't nobody in there. It was just me and him. He said, let's go get them boys. I said, okay. I don't know, some of you's probably been up there before, but they have pods. And we walked out through there and we started walking down there to go. We passed the first and we didn't go in to hit. We went all the way to the end, then come back. There was 3 pods the man was in. We passed the first one and I had on a shirt and tie. And they got up on the windows and they was beating on it. They was cussing me. And I guess they thought I was some kind of lawman or lawyer or something like that. Went by the second one, they done the same thing. We get to the third one, me and him walk in there, He said, this preacher's come to preach to y'all. He said, any of y'all want to go to service? And some of them got up and got their Bibles, and then we stopped at the second one. And some of the same ones that beat on the window and yelled, cussed at me, went over and got their Bibles. They walked out and followed us. Went by the first, and the same thing happened. Went in there. That was the night the little old man sat there. And as I preached, I could see in him, he had real long gray hair way down to here and a beard down to way, I mean, looked rough. And he looked at me and he just sat there and he just shaked. And I believe if he'd had a knife, he'd cut my head off. And I'd say, Lord, you please help me. And before I got through preaching, that old man had a tear rolling down his cheek. I don't know if he ever got saved. That was between him and God. What I'm trying to tell you is when he come in there, he didn't realize what he needed. You may have come here today, that jailer didn't realize that he was in bonds. The man that he was trying to keep banded and locked up was the man that was there to set him free. He was the one in prison. You say, well, Brother Jeff, God sent them and he opened the doors and they was able to leave. No, they didn't leave. I want you to know they stayed. I guess I never paid no attention to that. They didn't leave. I want you to realize, yes, when he had said that they had went nowhere, he took out his sword to take his own life. But they didn't even leave after that. God never sent the earthquake calling to tremble for them to leave. He sent it that they'd be able to get to the jailer and tell him about Jesus, that he'd be able to be set free. And oh boy, when I saw that, Lord, how have I overlooked this one all this time? How did these men that were bound up in prison, how did, was they able to release this man through the word of preaching Jesus? Hearing your soul shall live. That's what Isaiah said. I'm to preach the one that be able to set you free. I can't do it, but I'll tell you about the one that can. And that's what they done. When he come to them and he brought them to him, he had a desire to know about Jesus. Don't you have a desire to know? He said, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe. And then not only he got saved, but his family was set free too. And Sunday after Sunday, we come here and we try to tell you that you're going to die without God if you don't do something about it. And Sunday after Sunday, what did that thief say to the other thief? There was one of the thieves on the cross. He went to rail on the Lord and said, won't you release us and release yourself if you're the Son of God? And the other one said, do you not fear God, saying that we are in the same condemnation? Do you not fear God? Have we left such a bad example to you? Have we lived like the world so long that we don't fear God so much that lost people just don't fear him anymore? He's trying his best to set you free. He let two men of God be beat. He let them be put in shackles and thrown into the inner prison for that one man in his house to be saved. Look at the opportunity you have here today. And if you're not careful, you'll let your father, the devil, talk you into doing nothing again. That's what his job is. I'm fixing to be done. We read down to the 34th verse in your hearing in that 16th chapter. And when it was day, the master eight sent the sergeant saying, let those men go. They'd done heard about what happened. And the keeper of the prison told the saying to Paul, and the magistrates have sent to let you go. Now therefore depart and go in peace. He said, just leave. They said you can leave, just go ahead and leave. And Paul said unto them, they have beaten us openly, uncondemned, being Romans, and have cast us into prison. And now do they thrust us out privily, nay, verily, but let them come themselves and fetch us out. And the sergeants told these words to the magistrates, and they feared when they heard and that they were Romans. And they came and sought them and brought them out and desired them to depart out of the city. I want you to realize God never come to let them out. God come to let the jailer out. I think that's pretty cool. That two men had to be beaten, openly shamed, thrown in prison. That a man, a jailer, the one that was watching over, keeping them, could be saved. And then his house could be saved. I don't know what it's going to take for you to understand that you need to be saved. I can't do it. But I promise you this. Jesus came to save you. That was the roughest guy in the jail up there at night. He was an old man too, and I was scared of him if he'd been 20-year-old and all ripped up and muscled up. I'm telling you, I was scared of that old man. I was trying to preach, and I was a young preacher, probably hadn't been preaching 2 months. Scared to death to be up there anyway. And there sat that old man looking at me. I want to tell you, y'all give me some sour looks sometimes. A lot of you have been about half asleep today. But how that man looked at me, you will never understand. And I kept saying, Lord, please help me. I don't know if he ever got saved, but I will tell you this. I know one thing. The Word of God changed the way he saw me. I don't know how to tell you anymore that I love you. I don't know how many more times I can be the Philip. And you can be the unit. I don't know how many more times I can be Paul and Silas and you can be the jailer. I don't know how many more times God will bring us together and me get to warn you. But I know we had one more. We had one more time. Now, what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? He's here to set you free. Don't leave today still locked up, bound for hell, when he's got his arms outreaching and he wants to release you. You may have not gotten nothing out of that simple little thought, but it blessed my soul. You know what those men went through? That a jailer that didn't even realize he was locked up needed to be released. I thought it was pretty cool. He didn't have no idea he was the one in prison. He heard some men singing and praising God. You may have not had no idea today until you got here, until we begin to preach, that you was locked up and bound. But if you realize it today, I don't believe that old man realized it that night. I didn't realize it till I was brought down to a place that I wanted him to be released more than anything. And he took all that away. If he makes you free, you shall be free indeed. I'm no longer bound to sin. I've been set free, and so can you be. I really believe what the scripture says about he's able to present you faultless before the throne of glory. I believe that today. And I believe he will someday. I'm thankful I've been born again. I'm thankful I've been set free. If we got a song, we're going to stand together and we're going to give you an altar call. What you do with this today, what must you do to be saved? The Bible says, call on the name of the Lord. If you'll call on the name of the Lord with all your heart, with all your being, and completely submit yourself to him and trust him, he'll save your soul. And I promise you that. I'm not just saying that. And you say, well, Brother Jeff, I see people go to the altar over and over and over. Why? They ain't never submitted themselves to him. They ain't never just completely give it to him. The night I got saved, all I wanted was him. I didn't want to be like I was anymore. And I'll be honest with you, I was to the point that I believe if I'd left that night, I would have went to hell. I believe that. I had no doubt in my mind. You have to get to the point that you realize you're a sinner and you're bound for hell, and the only hope you have is Jesus. But if you'll put your hope and trust in him, he'll save you. So come to him today. He's the one. He's got the key. He's holding it, and he's wanting to set you free. Come to him today as we stand and sing. Won't you seek the Lord?